Welcome to the Kawartha Small Business Podcast, where we believe the Kawarthas can be the most thriving region in Canada for small business. I'm Brian Rump from Profit Coach.
And I'm Matt Garrity from Matty G Digital.
And before we get started, head over to kawarthasmallbusinesspodcast.ca/checklist and download Matt and Brian's marketing checklist for Kawartha Small Business. Okay, Matt, today our topic is innovation, and I am surprising you right now because I know, as per usual, you have not prepared and just showing up.
For the record, I was doing some social media stuff for the podcast this morning, nice. And I saw the list ahead of time, and I knew innovation was there, and I know the next one we're about to record that's coming up, I'm like, I'm pretty pumped for that one.
Nice.
The innovation one, honestly, this is another one I'm going to sit here and be like, hey, Brian, explain to me innovation like I'm an 8-year-old.
All right. Awesome. I'm excited for it. We are live from the Thrive podcast studio, which we're excited about. And a secret behind the scenes is we're recording a few episodes this afternoon, which is something we haven't been able to do in person. So we'll celebrate that milestone. And just shout out to Thrive co-working community. We've got a podcast studio room. So if you're listening and you're like, oh man, I would like a podcast, you know, we can help you set that up. And there's a cool spot to do that.
It's great for marketing channels, like to get more eyes and ears on the business. It's good for webinars, good for courses, training videos, everything, this podcast studio. So it's a podcast studio, but I think what we'll end up calling it maybe long-term, it's a media room in so many ways because there's so much potential for this room.
Oh, yeah. Lots of, you know, small space, but flexible. Lots of cool stuff's going to happen in these four little walls here.
It's bigger than I thought it was going to be because this whole project has been bigger than I thought it was going to be. The entire time before we even signed the lease, I was like, this space makes no sense to me.
Yeah.
Had a designer come in, like sketch it out. He's like, yeah, it makes sense. And every step of the way, I was like, this is too small. Framing went up, this is too small. Like walls went up, this is too small. But now I get over in here and everything's done. Everything's a little bit bigger than I was expecting. Like this room is way bigger than I thought.
Yeah, it's pretty pretty cool. So
yeah,
we'll hop in, talk about innovation. Wanted to do a whole episode on this topic because it is a very well used buzzword. I think I hear innovation in almost every business I talk to. Every not-for-profit, everyone's always talking about being innovative. Lots of people are pumping innovation. But I don't think a lot of those people really know what it means and what it means for business. What are your initial thoughts? When I say innovation, what are you thinking about?
I don't know. Like, I literally don't know what it means other than a buzzword. Like, people are saying, oh, you have to innovate. What does that mean? You have to make your business better. You have to be more agile. You have to adapt to the environment and the circumstances. That's all I think. But I think people have maybe taken a spin on that and used it just as poor marketing copy, really, to like make it seem like you are being a company that's like constantly trying to change and evolve. And I think it's honestly probably just, again, a buzzwordy marketing thing at this point.
Yeah, I think it's very buzzwordy. In years working in grants, every program was, you know, they would like add innovation to it, or they'd be like, oh, we're doing innovation. And then nobody had a real good definition of what that was. There was no clear metrics of like what's innovative, what's not. It's one of those cool things that everyone just loves, like say it's innovative, and can't always depend. But there is a school of innovation. So I was able to teach at Fleming innovation in the global economy or workplace. I kind of forget what the name of the course is. And of course, when I, you know, first was teaching that, I was thinking about innovation in terms of some specific projects I had been part of and things that I had seen. Had an opportunity to teach with Wael Nwara, who I think has developed like the best innovation program probably in North America. Because since then I've looked at different ones and what their curriculum are and the things he put together. So I'm heavily borrowing from things that Wales influenced me to learn. And, you know, innovation, the very first step is understanding what it is and why it's different than things like discovery and invention. Some people think, oh, innovation is you have to invent something new. Not really that. Or you have to discover something that hasn't existed before, or, you know, it exists, but we haven't discovered it yet. And a good example of this is if we take something like steam and somebody seeing like a pot boiling and the lid bouncing up and down, that's the sort of discovering of the technology of steam power. And, you know, invention would be inventing, you know, the steam engine. And then innovation would be innovating, you know, better ways for that steam engine, or taking that and then inventing the internal combustion engine. So it's a process, and it's an intentional process. And I think that a lot of times when people use innovation in their business, they're trying to jump to a new idea. They're trying to say, oh, we got to be innovative. Like, Matt, quick, what's your brand new idea that no one's ever tried before? Just give me that new awesome idea, hashtag innovation. So yeah, what are your thoughts on that?
So innovation is not really coming up with a brand new idea. It's just about taking your product and service and making it marginally better.
Usually, yeah. So it can be marginally better. You can look for things that exist and find new uses for it. You can combine things. There is a whole lot of ways you can approach it and a lot of tools. So if, and this is where, you know, innovation consultants who know a lot of these processes and tools and exercises would sort of pull from their bag of tricks differently for different businesses. But it is about, there's like a bias to action, a testing and a failing, a constant building with a business. So you're always trying to do something better. Sometimes it's hacking something. Sometimes it's taking a model, stealing it from somebody else and applying it to your business. And that's what real innovation usually is.
Most business owners are probably trying to do that constantly anyways, and constantly innovating. And I've never thought about this before, which is probably clear just based on what I'm saying. But I'm sure like bigger companies, like large size companies, they probably have like an entire department just dedicated to innovation, which would be really cool.
Yeah.
That'd be an awesome job to actually just be focused on, like, how do you focus on a product or service that we have and how do we make it better? I would love that, actually.
And what's interesting, you know, a couple things to unpack here. One is, yes, they do have entire departments. Mm. It's often bigger businesses. One of the neat things I've learned, and I think even with a small business, is it has to be an intentional process. And there's some intentional exercises and steps you can take to really make it useful. But it is a process that should be kind of always ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no set it and forget it in business. So in that way, everyone drops the buzzword all the time. And they're not wrong about that buzzword. Oh, we're innovative. We're trying new things. Sometimes they're not necessarily trying new things, or they're not really combining the best things, or they're not searching really hard. It's like this one thing shows up and they just like do it and try it. But you could get a lot of, I think, innovation done if you spend the time to specifically go through some of those steps in innovation, go through a process, develop a culture of innovation and thinking about those things.
I'm sure I speak for a lot of people when I say we don't want to hear the entire course on innovation from you, but what are some of these steps? Like, what are the Coles notes on the steps then?
Yeah, I think there's, and like the course is really pulling stuff together. I think what's cool about it is there's also some like workshop things, and I think it works better when you have an idea or you start with some empathy. With innovation, I think we've had an episode before. We've talked about design thinking. So design thinking is a process for that. You know, starts with empathy. And I think all really good business and entrepreneurship really is about empathy and really understanding your customer, the problem that you're trying to solve, but not jumping to the conclusion of what that is. So going through that process of, you know, really digging into the problem, some, you know, issues around that, then you're identifying what the problem is. Then you're creating ideas and ideating that, and then you're testing out different things and prototypes and tweaking them, and, you know, failure is a huge part of it. And re-looping it. I think a lot of people rush that process, or they don't go through it. They'll come up with an idea. They'll be like, nope, this is it. Perfect idea. They'll do it. And then they'll wonder why it doesn't work. And then they'll completely scrap it. Whereas maybe you weren't hitting on the problem well enough, or maybe you weren't, didn't do proper marketing, and you weren't actually talking about the sort of empathy portion, or maybe you didn't, you created something that doesn't actually solve the problem that you started solving. So it is that process. And when we look at specific products, one of my favorite stories and one case study we use is the invention of the Swiffer. And the Swiffer, the empathy started with like this Procter & Gamble, like one of the executives was watching his wife like wash the floor. And it was like her back was sore because she would like move all the furniture, wash the floor, move it all back. And I joke with my students, you know, instead of getting up and helping her, he was like, oh, I got to take this to work. Like, you know, why does my wife have to spend a whole day hurting her back, getting tired? Yeah. You know, people would change their clothes to wash their floor. And it's funny, I haven't washed a floor like the old way in a long time, but when I was a kid and learning to do chores, like we'd like move everything out, you clear the space, you sort of sweep it, you would change your clothes, you like get out a bucket, water and the mop, you rub the dirt around the floor, you make mud, you know, dumping it out, you know, it's a gross, dirty job, and you feel gross after and you have to shower. So they really looked at the empathy of that whole process. And they came up with, you know, statements like, how can we clean the floor without making mud, right? How can we clean the floor where you don't have to move the furniture? How do you clean the floor where you don't have to have a sore back afterwards or have a shower afterwards? And they ended up coming up with the Swiffer. And the Swiffer, the first version of it, they didn't invent any of the pieces.
Sure.
They went out and they found like the little Swiffer cloth was a product they have already had to clean up smoke damage on stuff. So they just like put it on a stick basically. And, you know, one of their ideas was like, what they call it, like a wet nap on a stick, or like a diaper wipe on a stick was sort of where it came from. And the thing they created, you know, has kind of revolutionized floor cleaning. They talked about it makes it fun. So, you know, instead of moving all the furniture and being angry, it's like kind of fun to zip around with this little cloth and stick thingy that pivots kind of cool. And really, and in the end, does a better job cleaning your floor. They had to overcome some things because we had been training people for a long, long time that a wet floor was a clean floor. But they were, you know, they've been able to sort of move on that a little bit. And that all comes from following sort of an intentional process.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I'm not convinced the Swiffer cleans up better than a mop. Do you? Like a squeegee mop? Like you can really scrub those floors with those old sponge mops.
Yeah. And I think, but they're not necessarily clean, right? They feel clean.
Yeah.
What's neat though, I think, you know, stains, they've come up with like the Swiffer, like the wet jet. And like, you know, there are some nuances in that. But I think if you actually like tested it, like, you know, it's going to be as good and you're not going to be disgusting after.
True.
You're not going to feel like you need to kind of rub the dirty sponge stuff around or, you know, different things
yeah. like that. Maintenance wise, like it is just so much faster to get started, like to quickly grab a Swiffer, clean up versus like you said, the bucket, filling the bucket up and all that and clear like this. Yeah. It's so much easier. And I save people a ton of time. Did it take off right away?
Oh yeah. Like I remember working at a hardware store when it first came out and it was like a crazy, like you couldn't keep them on the shelf, the first version. And of course they've innovated it since then and they made different ones and there's knockoffs and, you know, reusable things and flooring has changed too, I think a little bit, but it just shows like where an idea comes from and then where it went to and what innovation departments are working on. How it relates to small business, you know, we can't always take like big projects or hire full-time people to just innovate. But I think there's that culture of like really looking at what are the problems you solve? What are customers? What do they really want? And are you taking time to really identify that? Are you constantly looking for ways to make it better for them? Usually it's saving time, you know, making things a bit faster, making it better. Those are the types of things that we want to think of.
This is the mess that's constantly in business owners' heads, though. It's the innovation mess now. I didn't even really realize, like clearly didn't know anything about innovation. And these are the things that business owners think about every day. This is what keeps them up. This is what they're distracted about, like little small marginal things that can make their business better. It'd be fascinating to have a who that would just focus on that all the time, whether it was a coach or a consultant or an expert that would come in. And not to criticize like an innovation workshop, like I've never been to one, I have no idea, but just based on this conversation, I can imagine it being incredibly useful as a workshop. It's like a great idea, maybe gets your mind racing of like, here's a bunch of good ideas, but that all goes away the next day when you've got work piling up and other things to do. It's a very fascinating idea.
Yeah. And I think this is a good one because it's something I think about. How do we do it properly and effectively? And there are innovation consultants. Sometimes they're for industry specifics. Sometimes they're talking about innovation. Doing it is different. It takes a bit more time. Whale introduced some really cool tools that are very helpful in the process, but it's really hard to do in like a day. I think you need like, I think maybe a cohort of people over several days or once a week to like go through the process. And I think that's just been a hard thing maybe to develop or get people to get them in the mindset of doing it. The most effective innovation is in the workshops and trying stuff. And a lot of people, you know, myself included, although I think I'm intentionally trying to get better at it, you know, they don't like the failure part. Whereas I think in my life anyway, the more I've embraced failure or the more I've thrown something out and then it doesn't really work, but then it gets better, works. Or I think we've talked about this before. I think you and I innovate really well together because like I'll say something, you'll hear half of it. Dive in and do something and then I'm like, oh god, not that, he did it wrong, and then I, you know, we adjust, but then I was like, oh, but this is kind of good, yeah. You know, it always ends up being better, yeah. And I'm like, okay, how do we do that more, right? Because like it, you know, again, there's a teamwork element to it as well, so yeah, process, teamwork. It's not just jumping to a new idea or brainstorming and saying, okay, let's get a bunch of post-it notes and just start writing stuff down. And then we just pick at the end of the day, one of those ideas and we do that. It's a bit more of a process.
It's the follow-up. It's having someone dedicated or committed to the innovation side of things now. And this is why I think I used to hate the word consultant, or I came around to the word coach recently. And in a lot of ways, I am a consultant, but in a lot of ways also, if I do a consulting type of job or an audit where I'm looking in and diving into things, I'm able to then say, this happened yesterday when I was doing an audit for Google Ads, and it was like a consultant job, basically me coming in, looking at what was going on. It was very clear to me, but what does that matter if I'm like, well, here's how you innovate the things. The woman still doesn't know how to execute it or how to carry that on, or doesn't have time to do it. And the key to all of this is like having that follow-up. So I was able to very quickly, like, I found these issues. Here's how we fix it.
Yeah.
And now I'm continuing to work with that person ongoing. But that's, it has to be the same way with innovation. Like you just said, like, I've got all these like wacky ideas and I act on them sometimes half-assed, or I don't.
Yeah.
And it's just like a constant thought process, like of every other business owner, where there's just ideas in your head where we need to get those out and follow up on and working them. And you taught me 2 weeks ago, or it's like, no, maybe not a month ago, we're trying to figure out events for Thrive. And it was just like, I'm always like, we can't launch this till I've got a process, because my head thinks in steps of here's an idea and here's how we execute. I'm very good at it, but like, I can't just like start something without like figuring out the steps. And you were the one that was like, let's just come up, like, let's just do these presentations every other Thursday. You do one, I do one. And I'm like, okay, fine.
Yeah.
And go from there. And just sometimes it's a matter of just doing it and like getting these things rolling and like kind of figuring out on the fly, which is scary for me as someone that's very process oriented.
Yeah. But you're also a good, like, again, you need all the skill sets, the test and measure part. And a lot of people skip that, or they have a great idea. And I've had so many great ideas, but like when they don't get implemented, they don't exist. So you have to test and measure it, you know, to loop it back a bit as well for business. And then as we turn this into a marketing podcast, you know, marketing is always a fight, I think. And you're always innovating, trying new things, testing and measuring. As soon as you think you figured something out, like, that trend is going to disappear. So the best marketers, the best people who are around a long time, aren't necessarily the commodity, here you go, here's some money, I'll just do this. It's the people who are, you know, deep in Google, making those little adjustments and trying new things and testing different stuff. And somebody is ahead of the curve figuring that out. And then they scale it, and then other people copy it. And then eventually it, you know, goes out of style once everybody's doing it. But you want to be that person on the sort of the front line, figuring out sort of new things.
Figuring out new things, coming from a place of empathy, which I think is the starting point for all of that. But then being able to, like you said, test and measure. And I don't think you need a ton of like metrics and structure for that. But like, you need to have the ability to understand what you're testing and measuring. And like, you might be worried about all these other things, and someone like an expert might not even think about those or care about those. Like, there's certain things that they're trying to achieve with those numbers.
Yeah. And I think, you know, when I say testing and measuring, it's not necessarily like a giant science experiment.
Yeah.
Like, there are people who like track every metric to the nth degree. So again, it's going to depend on your resources. Sometimes it's just an expert that kind of knows what they're doing and they get it, but they're not sure why, and they can't scale it, but it's because they've lived in that world for so long. They just get it.
Yeah.
And I think that also describes a lot of business owners I've worked with over years who like really know their field and craft. They just intuitively get stuff. So it's really hard to like peel that back a bit to try to get them to recognize that expertise, but then apply it to get better. Or, you know, bring in a different innovation approach. And it could be different, you know, softwares or a different model from like another industry. You know, you'll hear like people will say like, oh, Airbnb is like the Uber of something, or you'll hear the McDonald's of X industry. That stuff's all innovation in some ways, because they're borrowing something from somebody else and applying it to them.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's fascinating. And realistically, like thinking as a business owner, like if you're not innovating, your business is dying.
Yeah.
Like that's just it.
Yeah, you gotta, it's eventually gonna die. You know, how fast you move is one thing, but, and you don't want to maybe move too fast and try too many new things without a chance for them to stick. But if it comes from a place of empathy, which again is a thing I think some people skip, they'll be like, oh, so-and-so's doing this. That's really cool. I'd love to do that. But they've never stopped to think like, oh, will my customers actually pay for that? Or like, does that help them or does that just help me? And I think that's where I think a lot of people try to innovate their business model. And, you know, one of the sort of sexiest things that you hear is like, oh, you need a subscription model. You want monthly cash flow, which is a great thing to do for a business. But there are some businesses where that just doesn't work for the customer, where they're inherently project driven. So yeah, it might be great for, you know, Matt to get monthly revenue for his business. But if it doesn't make sense for me to pay monthly for a project or something where I might have two projects a year, then it doesn't make sense to me. So then it's not going to work. But there's other times where, say, something like that comes and customers like, oh, I've just been waiting for that. Like, it helps my cash flow. I'm going to pay you anyway. Like, just make it easy for me and take my money slowly.
I think sometimes we get confused with gaps in the market being opportunities when maybe there's a gap in the market because it's not actually a need.
Yeah.
Maybe like from a point of empathy, it's not something that people actually truly want. They're not going to find value in it. There's not actually a problem that needs to be solved there.
Yeah. Or it's like a cool thing would be nice.
Oh, yeah.
Is it worth paying for? And I think that sort of is another conversation about value. And, you know, value is, you know, part of innovation as well. You know, to round it out, you need things that are desirable, viable. They can be profitable. Lots of people invent cool things that are awesome, but they just can't be executed in a way that is a profitable business, right? Like you might be like, oh, this is the coolest tool ever. I would love this. And then someone's like, oh, great. It's $100,000. And you're like, what? Like, I can't make money off of that. So you're not going to do it. But, you know, then the challenge becomes, okay, how do we do this, but make it profitable? And there's just all these like gears in motion and, you know, stuff happening to figure that out, which is why it's a cool world to immerse yourself in a little bit.
Yeah.
Everyone should be doing it. Some people it's all they do. Some people it's all they do for certain sectors. But it's just a cool thing to talk about and shed some more light on.
Oh, for sure. I bet every business owner is doing it. It's just all in their head.
Yeah. Yeah, and I guess I would challenge, I don't know that everyone's doing it, but everyone growing a business has to do it. I think there's some people who start up a business and they're like, oh, I just want to do this the rest of my life. And then they're wondering why they're not busy or it's not going well. And it's probably because they're not doing it. But you know, sort of entrepreneurs who are trying hard to do that are doing it all the time. And, you know, maybe a few tools would help them sort of contain that a little bit.
So, yeah, that's awesome.
All right, any final thoughts?
If you're not innovating, you're dying.
Awesome. So with that, if you want to get started on some innovation, we would love to help you and your business start, grow, or recharge. You can reach out to us, send us an email to setitup@kawarthasmallbusinesspodcast.ca.